Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Ryder. It's Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. We have 22 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwest winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves from the northwest 2 feet at 4 seconds apart, southwest swells 3 feet at 15 seconds apart. And today we're going to have a bit of a follow-up for you on the story of the sailing vessel that a couple were rescued from off the coast here a year ago, just about now. They were rescued by the Coast Guard after they got hit so hard by a wave that it just about turned the boat upside down, and they were airlifted by a Coast Guard helicopter crew to Air Station Astoria. And I have a little bit of the rest of the story for you in a minute. But first of all, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 5 inbounders. We have 11 in our Astoria anchorages, both off the downtown waterfront in Astoria and up near Rice Island on the north side of the ship channel opposite Tongue Point there as you're sort of heading upriver from Astoria, and 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the TCLC Luzhou, arriving from Japan, headed for the Rice Island anchorage. She's ultimately heading upriver to pick up wheat. She probably arrived off Rice Island or could be doing that right now, be there by about 9 o'clock. The Geneva Queen is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for the anchorage off the port of Vancouver, Washington. She'll pass Astoria maybe around 5 p.m. and head upriver. That would put her upriver by about in Vancouver by about 11 p.m., and she's a wheat carrier. She'll be picking up wheat there. The London Highway is a car carrier with Toyotas on board. She's coming in from offshore, headed for the port of Portland, passing Astoria around 8:30 inbound with those Toyotas on board. And the Monoceros Leader is arriving from Japan. She's got Subarus on board, headed for the port of Vancouver. She'll pass Astoria around 10:30 p.m. That would put her upriver at Vancouver about 4:30 tomorrow morning. And the Elsa is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll be there about 11 p.m., but she's going to eventually head upriver to the port of Portland to pick up potash, which is an element in fertilizer, an ingredient in fertilizer. In our Astoria anchorage vessels, we have the Gorgoi Picus. There's a great name. Heading for the port of Vancouver around 11 a.m. to pick up wheat. The Anzac Columbia is headed from the anchorage to the port of Portland to pick up soda ash. That Anzac word is an acronym, actually, for American Natural Soda Ash Corporation. She'll head out about 11 a.m., headed up to the port of Portland. The G.H. Glory is headed to the port of Kalama to pick up corn, soy, maybe wheat today. She'll be leaving the anchorage around 3 p.m. The Ultra Tiger is awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage, along with the Ultra Puma, or Puma, the New Legacy, and the Peak Proteus. And at the Rice Island anchorage, a little upriver from Astoria on the north side of the channel, the Cavo Alcyon, the Rich Future, the Simona Star, and the TCLC Luzhou will be out there awaiting orders as well. She's in arrival this morning. And our outbounders, the Falkor, is leaving the port of, the shipyard at Swan Island. I think she might be a fish processor or something like that. I don't think she's a cargo ship. The Azura is leaving Portland from the port of Portland with potash on board. The American Endurance is a tanker with, I think, petroleum on board, leaving around 11 a.m. from Portland, so maybe around 5 p.m. outbound. The articulated tug and barge rig, the Sound Reliance, is leaving Portland around 11 a.m. with refined petroleum on board, so she too could pass Astoria around 5 p.m. And the Feng Mei is leaving Kalama with corn, soy, or wheat on board around 6 p.m., maybe 11 p.m. out past Astoria. And the BLC First is leaving Longview with wheat on board around 11 p.m. About 3.5 hours later, we'll see her past Astoria. Well, the story of this sailboat, and I think I was mispronouncing it yesterday. I was calling it the Kellerin. I think it's the Kellerin. And I found out, I was thinking, this is maybe an Irish word or a Celtic word. I found out that the couple who owned this Joy and Jim Carey, who own her, named it for their two daughters, Kelly and Erin. So I think it's the Kellerin, so I'll call it that. They're originally from Bellingham. Their boat, 45 feet long, a sloop or a cutter rig, depending on what you look at. Veteran sailors, they're both in their 70s at this point, have sailed around the world for many years, visited at least 53 countries, and they got into real trouble last year off the mouth of the Columbia River in the ocean. Actually, they were being pushed down the coast by terrible weather, and their boat was hit so hard that they ended up, at least she did, ended up waking up on the ceiling of the boat, the roof of the cabin inside before the boat tipped itself back up. So I'm going to read you an excerpt from a Cruising World magazine article that appeared in October of 2018 about the follow-up on this. I told you that the boat was found by the Coast Guard about a month later after this incident. So here's what happened. I'll just read you this article. In sailing, as in life, not all stories have pleasant conclusions, so it's always uplifting to tell a tale that does, which returns us to the ongoing saga of cruising sailors Joy and Jim Carrey and their 45-foot sailboat, Caleran, and ending straight out of a Hollywood movie. And this is the previous issue of the magazine. They had related what turned out to be just the opening terrifying stanza of the Carrey's amazing odyssey. And that's an article called The Last Wave, which you can look up in the archives of the magazine. To briefly recount, in mid-June of 2018, the couple were off the coast of Washington State and a single day away from completing a 17-year circumnavigation aboard Caleran when they were clobbered and rolled by a roaring sea in the dead of night. Hours later, they were airlifted off the stricken boat by the U.S. Coast Guard. And they were whisked to safety, and they thought they had lost their boat forever. 5 weeks to the day after they'd abandoned their boat on July 22nd of last year, Joy's phone rang. The Carries were in their RV near Mount Baker, wondering what to do with the rest of their lives. They hadn't quite come to terms with the notion that Caleran was lost forever. Maybe they would drive down the coast and check in with harbor masters along the way to see if anyone heard anything. Joy answered the call. Jim said she kept saying, "Oh my God, oh my God." Then she started crying. The first thing I thought was one of our kids was in an accident or something. But no, it's the Coast Guard, she said finally. They found our boat. It took another 2 hours to catch her breath. Caleran had apparently continued her epic wandering, drifting her way southward some 500 miles, and was 44 miles off Fort Bragg, California, when a Coast Guard cutter on a routine patrol stumbled upon her and towed her in. The Carries fired up their RV and followed her down. The boat was a mess, but there on her stern was the small cooler with cash, hard drives, and other valuables that Joy had gathered before jumping ship but was left behind in the frantic commotion. And there were other surprises. When Jim flipped on the chart plotter, it was evident the boat had power for several days after they'd left her. Her southbound track was clearly visible, recorded before the batteries died. So at any rate, they went down there with some friends to fix up the boat. They're going to take it south and to San Francisco to repair it. And then they're going to go to Mexico and do a little bit more cruising. They were thinking of selling the boat when they got done with that voyage last year. But now they don't seem to be able to part with her. You can certainly understand that. It is certainly true that many times the advice to mariners is stay with the boat if at all possible. And sort of the metaphor for that is that you don't leave your boat until you're stepping up into a lifeboat, which indicates that the boat's sinking under you. But this was a case of what seemed like a very dire situation. The people had to make a decision to leave because the Coast Guard helicopter was running out of fuel. But their boat survived, and many boats do survive even terrible conditions. So not all, though. So it's always a judgment call whether you should stay with your boat or leave it. And what a wonderful thing to have this, you know, so many stories like this have not so good endings. It's really wonderful to be able to talk about one that is truly a happy ending. So I wish them many more months and years of cruising, if that's what they choose to do. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.